final segment of Canuck Central. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. Earlier, we were supposed to have Ken Holland on the show. He respectfully apologized that he was unable to make his appearance on the program and has rescheduled to Friday. So we will hopefully connect with Ken Holland, GM of the LA Kings, later this week and ask him when he will be trading Quinton Byfield to the Vancouver Canucks.
Now we have to.
Now it's part of the deal, part of the line of questioning that we must go through with on Ken Holland's front. All right. Final segment. It is a Wednesday. Hit the music. It is overrated or underrated. You give us a topic. We decide if they are one of those two things. Sometimes we act like cowards and we say something is just rated or perfectly yes. rated.
Well, cowardice is an illness that has spread through the 650 studios over yes. the years. So there's a lot of that to go around here.
We don't want to end up on Coward's Court. So
yeah.
Which happened to Zach last week.
Mm.
Reference.
Hmm?
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I was here. James.
So, Josh, you missed a lot in a week.
I know,
man.
Dude. Did, yeah. You miss a week of work.
Yeah.
And like, I feel so lost.
There's so many shenanigans here. Always.
Hijinks has ensued while I was gone.
All right.
We'll start with this one from James. The potential of an Oilers-Panthers Stanley Cup final rematch. Overrated or underrated?
I'd say underrated. I think rematches are always underrated.
Yeah.
Great.
You know, there's a reason the Celtics-Lakers rivalries of the of years past always had such a big following and people yeah. wanting to see it again and again because it just stuck in their minds. People love great rivalries. People love dynasties as much as it seems like there's a sentiment that people don't like dynasties or don't like seeing mm-hmm. teams win over and over and over again. At the same time, I feel like when you have a juggernaut team, there's more investment, whether you are for that team or you love to cheer against them. It makes for that much more of an interest to the casual fan rather than just those that are tuning yeah. in for the Edmonton Oilers or the Florida Panthers.
Yeah. Well, the last one we saw was Penguins Red Wings, right?
Yeah, it was great. And 09 yeah. was maybe one of the best, as we talked about yeah. yesterday, one of the better Stanley Cup finals of the Cap era.
Yeah.
So
underrated.
Underrated.
All right, next one comes from Lena. I co-host with her.
You know her.
I know her.
I think this was a discussion on
yes.
on Canucks Brunch today.
Quinn Hughes being an untouchable when it comes to trades, overrated or underrated.
He might want to be touched.
Yeah, he might be touchable is what you're saying.
I'm extremely uncomfortable with.
I haven't said anything else. Just a touch.
The wording of this discussion.
Hey, phrasing.
Seriously. Josh was saying touchable players way too much today.
There's a lot of touchable players.
No, stop saying it, please. I'm done. Quinn Hughes is very much a player you should not trade right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless he says, sayonara.
Which you have at least a year to figure that out. So I just, you know, I don't think the trade value changes all that much. So no. Why not play this out as long as you possibly can?
Like we've talked, at most, the trade value is like the equivalent of a second round pick along like maybe yeah. one extra piece you don't get or whatever, but it doesn't significantly change the value now versus next year.
Yeah, if you're still like if you have to go down this path, you're still getting premium pieces back for Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
And those premium pieces, they're probably the same today as they would be a year from now.
Well, look at the Rantanen trade.
Yeah.
And yeah. Carolina had no guarantees, obviously.
Yep.
I mean, you saw what happened ultimately, and they still paid a hefty price, right?
Gave up a really good, high-producing young player and two first-round picks.
Yeah.
You know, so it's it just doesn't make sense to me to entertain the idea of trading Quinn Hughes right now.
Next one from Austin and Langley. Trading anyone with 1 or 2 years left on their deal that does not want to extend.
I mean, always underrated, I think. Like, I mean, in general, like
2 years I'm okay with.
Again, if a player doesn't want to stay, then yeah, you trade him.
Yeah.
We don't know that with Quinn. We have a assumption, some are assuming.
It's common sense, that.
Well, that's what Rutherford said. But he said, he didn't mean it's common sense he's leaving. Common sense that he may want to play with his brothers one day, right? Yes. But there have been no indications that Quinn has said, I'm not staying.
Yeah.
So you don't have that, but in general, like, if you knew Quinn wasn't, if Quinn had told them, hey guys, like, this is going to be my last year with you guys, then I think you start exploring it now.
Yeah.
Because you're not on the cusp of winning a cup. You're not looking at it and say, well, hey, let's take one more run with Quinn because we want to stay. Like, if he says, I don't want to stay here, you move on with life, but that hasn't happened.
No.
You know, but
the thing that, in the context of Quinn Hughes, and when Rutherford said we have, you know, nearly 2 years to figure this out, or we have until not next year's trade deadline, but the next trade deadline. So alluding to the idea that they could keep Quinn Hughes well into the final year of his contract if they don't have an answer and play it out until that trade deadline when he would technically be a rental. I mean, given the history of this franchise and the predicament that you might put yourself in, I want no part of that. Like, if you don't have a pretty convincing commitment from Quinn Hughes as of July 1st next year or summer of next year, then you start exploring trade then.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to do the delicate dance of being in a playoff spot and entertaining the idea of trading Quinn Hughes at the trade deadline because he's not willing to sign a contract extension. That's, you know how that's going to turn out. Quinn Hughes is going to end up walking for free out of this organization.
Yeah.
And that can't be a scenario that plays out. So
it won't happen.
Get it done next summer in the context of Quinn Hughes. You got to make that deal. And with guys like Connor Garland, I get it. Like, you've got to really, it's a tough question already because the Canucks are bereft of top six players, of forward players with talent, driving type players in their forward group. Garland is one of them, but he's also a guy going into the final year of his deal that maybe you'd like to get something out of if you could avoid it.
Yeah, but I think the thing with Garland is
stuck.
With Garland, I don't think the value is all that high. Like, could there be a hockey deal that gets made where the money goes in, money goes out? Perhaps.
If Brock Besser's not getting you a first round pick at a deadline, Connor Garland's not getting you a first round pick at a trade deadline as a rental.
No, and so I'm not sure there's any value in moving him now either, unless you're making, could you make a hockey deal involving Garland Vezina? Is that overrated or underrated?
Underrated. I would be into that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Bruins would.
Yeah.
Connor Garland on the station tomorrow. On Canucks brunch at 11.
Ask him if he wants to play in Boston.
Hey. I'm sure he wouldn't mind. You know, he is from Boston.
I mean, if the logic that Rutherford says is common sense,
yeah,
that Quinn would want to play with his brothers, would logic not hold that Garland would want to play at home at some point potentially?
Yeah. You're going to have to find a way to ask him how do the Canucks make sure to keep you and Quinn Hughes happy in Vancouver for a very long time?
Sharks. Well, that covers one of them.
Yes.
Do you think the assumption from, like, Rutherford, that's probably a fair assumption that Quinn Hughes wants to play with his brothers, does that, like, what if Quinn Hughes was like, you know what, I want to stay in Vancouver and I'm happy in Vancouver, but then all this, like, public assuming, do you think that impacts Quinn Hughes' decision-making in any way?
I think Quinn is kind of the type that doesn't concern himself. Well, does he concern himself with what gets said in the media? I mean, he's admitted in the past that he
certain things
have gotten to him, like how he's bad defensively and he's too small. Those kinds of things have been things he's used for motivation. I think he understands that the speculation is just part of being a star in the league, and it doesn't really seem to bother him too much.
Yeah, I don't know if that stuff is what gets to Quinn. I think the thing that gets to Quinn is just not having success.
Yeah. Ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
So, overrated.
All right. Next one comes from Mike the Urologist. Signing Demko to an extension this summer.
I mean, I would shade underrated. So if you're looking to get a value if you believe in Thatcher Demko, and you think Thatcher Demko can be a high end goaltender, mm-hmm. and you can have a good tandem with him and Demko, this would be the time to sign Demko. you're not getting him at a better number now, unless like he really falls apart next year and you're getting him dirt cheap. But if you believe in him, and you think he's going to have a good year next year with Lankanen being here, this would be the time to sign him.
If he has a bad year, you're probably not keeping him though.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So it's like it's a moot point. But if he has a good year, he probably prices himself out because he's on the verge of hitting free agency. Now he can really demand a 5, 6, maybe a 7 year contract, and now you're stuck.
I think it's underrated if you get it at the right number. Obviously,
what is the right number to you? Because to me, like 5-6 million is unrealistic. Like that to me is like this. There's no point talking.
Yeah,
about
you're not
that.
Living in reality if you think Demko is signing that kind of a deal. You know, you've mentioned, and you mentioned with Woodley, like could something in the 30 to 34, 35 million dollar range total value get it done?
Anywhere from 8 to 8.5 or high seven.
I'd almost like 5 by 7 sounds like a decent number I could live with, even though 5 year term is maybe a little bit of a tougher pill to swallow.
Honestly,
but
I'd rather just do 8 by 4.
Yeah.
And just do the 4 years instead. With the cap going up, I'm not as worried about paying the extra AAV, a little bit higher on the AAV for 1 year.
Right.
I'd rather have the shorter term. But I don't think, I think
the only reason I would want it is because of, OEL's continued cap charge.
You know, it's fair.
Lessens your buying power the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I've been thinking a lot about, how do you build a team that's going to become elite? And one thing that's very clear, the Canucks, unless some things really align, they're not going to be a team that's built on elite forwards.
Mm-hmm.
But can their strength be elite goaltending? And the only way you have elite goaltending reach is if you have Demko long term and he figures it out.
Yeah.
Because as good as Lankanen is, he's not an elite netminder.
Yeah. Your best pathway to acquiring elite players on this roster is for Elias Pettersson and Thatcher Demko to rediscover prior form.
Yeah, and Woodley made a great point. If you look at Rutherford's history, he has not spent a ton on goaltending. It's been around league average. This would be amongst the top of the league if you're spending, you're signing Demko long term. But you can always move Lankanen if you wanted, I suppose, potentially, right? Now, if not, I think he also mentioned, Rutherford, that they may have to spend more on goaltending than they had thought about before. Maybe there's a they look at it, again, because if you look at it from, hey, you're just trying to build the best team standpoint, how do you replace Demko's potential on the roster?
You don't.
And you've already lost.
You hope one of your young goalies becomes that.
And you've already lost, on the Miller front, right? Moving him out and the team, up front not being as good. We don't know what's going to be happening with Besser here. I wonder if they go above their comfort zone on goaltending to get something done with Demko.
So if you were to give Demko something in the range of $8 million on an extension for the 26-27 season, you would be paying $12.5 to $13 million on your goaltenders.
Yeah,
now, which that would be about the cap's supposed to be around $100 million that year, maybe a little bit above. So, ballpark it at 12% of the cap. The next year it goes up to $113 million. So you're talking about 10% of the cap as early as 27-28. So that in that context, it becomes a lot more palatable pretty quickly, because of how fast the cap is rising the next couple of seasons.
Well, and obviously it worked out differently for the Florida Panthers because they have such great forwards and such a good team, but they spent over 15% of the cap on goaltending last year because they had Spencer Knight on the books and they had Bobrovsky, of course.
Yeah.
Plus they had Stolarz. I mean, they were spending, I think, like $16 million on goaltending.
Incredibly efficient with their contracts everywhere else.
And that's where it helped out, right? Yeah. But there isn't one way to build a team, is my point. And I just wonder if they just kind of go above their comfort zone here on Demko.
Next one from Michael. Fixing the 2C problem at the trade deadline instead of in the summer.
I think overrated because we just saw how this year played out when the Canucks were like, yeah, we'll fix our defense once we get to the trade deadline. If the Canucks don't acquire some kind of a impact forward, they're going to have a really hard time being a for sure buyer at the trade deadline next year.
Yeah. I just don't know how that player is becoming available to you. I mean, players always become available during the year you can trade for, but that's a lot easier said than done. And teams don't like to make those trades until later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And can you buy that much time for yourself?
And our center is becoming available. Like, the thing is, like, if you have a center in your sights right now, whether it's some of the names we've talked about or somebody that the Canucks understand could be available at a certain price, like they did with Marcus Pettersson, like they did with Hronek and others in the past, I think you have to make that deal whenever. Like, if that's a player you've identified and you can make that deal, you've got to take that swing whenever it's there and available to you, because those opportunities, if you pass on opportunities to acquire top six centermen, no matter when it is, you're most likely not getting another one anytime soon.
Yeah,
because they don't become available often.
Yeah, the whole notion of, hey, you will get the guy down the road.
Yeah,
it's a risky proposition because you don't know what's coming down the road. It could,
yeah,
it could be nothing.
You know, to think back to how I reacted to the Hronek trade, it's like, well, why now? Why trade for this right shot defenseman now when you're clearly in a year where you're not contending for the playoffs? And I mean, why now? Because you don't know when that guy's going to become available again. And if somebody else gets him, now you're cooked.
Well,
so
who's the next right-hand defenseman like him who got traded?
Yeah.
Like, there haven't been many. Like, you know, like, there's been
Cody Ceci.
Yeah. You're talking about some veteran types that are, like, you know, 5-6 defensemen or whatever.
Seth Jones,
he got traded a bit later. But, I mean, you know, I mean, like, a younger defenseman. Hey. You know what I mean? Like, who's, like, 24, 25 years old. Right-hand defenseman.
Yeah, in different circumstance, because Seth Jones was allowed to essentially pick where he wanted to go.
But my point is, usually guys like that don't become available.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't wait for the next guy, you know?
Thinking back to prior mistakes and prior bad takes, I realize, like, if you have a chance to acquire a top six center, I mean, and you're trying to be competitive, you just take that opportunity when it's there. I mean, if you're in full-on rebuild mode, then, yeah, maybe in that situation you might think about passing, but Canucks are not there.
The next one comes from Jay. It's an over-under. Overrated, underrated. So he says, Benning and the Markstrom, Tanev, Toffoli debacle summer. Well, I guess it was. Was it a summer? Off season. Did that set the team back over or under 10 years?
That whole thing. When we've talked about this in the past, it's not completely on Benning. It was the pandemic year, so
there's a lot there.
There was a lot there.
Benning's biggest failure that offseason was his inability to communicate with players to keep them abreast.
Yes.
The biggest issue Tanev had was, nobody talked to me.
Tanev was like, nobody talked to me.
Yeah, Toffoli waited like 3 days into free agency to see if the Canucks can open up money, and eventually ended up signing with the Habs.
He signed a very reasonable contract with the Habs. It definitely hurt the Canucks. Did it set them back more than 10 years? No, so I'm going to go with under.
Yeah, under 10 years, but it did set them back.
Yeah.
It really did. I mean, because if you would have been able to sign Toffoli to a team-friendly contract under $5 million, you would have had a forward signed and locked in that you don't worry about.
Toffoli and Tanev were the ones that were really hard to lose, right?
Because
Tanev couldn't stay healthy in Vancouver.
I will say,
but he started to stay healthy afterwards.
And Tanev's last year in Vancouver, he wasn't playing well.
Yeah.
He played with Quinn, and he still had a lot of struggles. He coughed up a puck a lot. He was, you know, he's playing through injuries. He just didn't look the same, and you see him now, and he's still very, very effective. So it's easy to look back, but it set them back, because if you have him and Toffoli,
yeah.
I remember when Tanev signed, we were all like, oh, you know what? Good for Tanev.
Yeah, like,
I wouldn't have given him that.
No, but he would have signed with, I think if the Canucks would have communicated better with him, I think he would have taken that $3 or $4 million offer.
Yeah.
But just because they waited so late and there was no communication, and then now it's like, well, now you want me to sign less than what Calgary offered? And he slept on it and said, screw you guys. And he still, I think, said on an interview with Elliot that he still regretted that somewhat.
Yeah. So...
But yeah, so that to me...
It set them back.
Yeah.
Because you ended up having to go search for guys that you could have just kept here that were, you know,
solid
anyways.
You probably would have been more stable as a team.
Yeah.
And
wouldn't have had to give up assets to go trade for guys, you know.
No, and we talk about having that dynamic, the locker room. And Toffoli and Tanev, both really good leaders that people love.
Yeah.
does the old JT Pedersen thing go off the rails if you have those personalities there the whole time?
Yeah.
Again,
that's another good point.
Overrated, underrated, right? But I'd still say under 10 years, not more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Next one from Justin in East Van. Overrated, underrated, the superstition of touching the conference final trophy.
Underrated. Don't touch it. It is an untouchable. I know Sat is very superstitious, so he's going to be opposite on me on this.
Yeah,
but
no,
don't touch the trophy.
I don't care. This is not going to matter. Touch the trophy. All that stuff's overrated. Like we saw, didn't the Penguins not do it one year, then did it the next year, and then they won or something, right?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
It's always a superstition for, like, whichever works for you.
Yeah, you know? Honestly, it does. Like, I think it's one of those things, like, if you're the type of person that's going to let that eat you up, where you're going to be sitting there obsessing about it, it's going to, you know, impact how you play, because you're going to be sitting there thinking about it. God, if I touch the trophy, I'm cursed. I just don't think that way.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, whatever.
Next one from Dom. Winning the conference league.
I don't know, Sat, you tell me.
I mean, it's overrated, obviously. It's underrated, though, if you've already won the Champions League twice and the Europa League twice. Because this is the, you know, now they've won all three European trophies.
Chelsea, $1 billion squad in a tournament full of minnows.
No, they still won it. Why are you hating?
Hey, first team to beat a Spanish club in a European final in forever.
Yeah, a long time. You see, you know, usually these Spanish clubs do. Yes, you know, hey, give Chelsea its credit.
I've seen many a Spanish club beat Juventus in a European final. It sucks.
Chelsea, the youngest team in Premier League history this year. Youngest team in Premier League history. They finished top four, won a conference league. It's looking bright. Future looks bright.
Sebastian Aho has scored his second.
Oh, Jinxio. I don't believe in Jinxios or Jinxes, but I believe in Jinxio.
Aho's hearing all those people say that the Canes don't have any elite players, and he's turned up the dial here a little bit against the Florida Panthers.
I still don't think they come back. But you know what? I'm in it for the Jinxio. We'll end with this one from Basketball Phil. Fouling up three late in NBA games.
Fouling up three. I think underrated. Like if it's like 3 seconds left and you're up three, foul a guy and put him on the line.
Strategically, it's underrated.
Yeah.
Entertainment wise, it's overrated.
Yeah, sure. Strategically, that's all that matters. Phil's asking about how do I win the basketball game? And if you're trying to win the basketball game, then that's a smart move, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like kneeling out the clock in the NFL.
Yeah, it's not exciting, but probably the wise thing to do.
I used to love it. Like you play like Madden with your buds and guys would get so upset when you kneel out the clock at the end of the game.
It's
like
a coward's move.
How is it a coward's move?
It's Madden. It's a video game.
Play better, and then I won't kneel out the clock.
At least run the ball.
No.
Come on.
This is how real football's played.
Yeah,
I'm going to play it that way.
Yeah, just kneel it out.
I'm not kneeling in Madden.
No, not in Madden. But I've had
I'm kneeling it out in Madden. Every time.
I've had debates with people. I remember somebody got really like passionate once because I was like, well, you should just kneel it out because like you have a lower risk of injury. It's like, you don't know football. You still get injured on a kneel down. Someone can rush the line. I'm like, yeah, but the chances are lower.
Yeah.
Because less players are engaging as physically because you're kneeling.
Oh, I do this in like FIFA when I'm playing online and I happen to actually be winning a game for once.
Oh, you're still mad.
And I'll just like stick it into the corner and just like shield off guys until the clock runs out. They get so mad.
Yeah,
immediately get the DM, be like, oh, you play like such an ass.
Wow.
Like,
they're not wrong.
Yeah, they're not wrong.
You play like such a coward, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah, anytime you beat somebody and you pull some shenanigans, the inbox just...
It kind of makes me like... giddy to understand that people are getting so upset that I'm playing this way as well. Imagining somebody like red faced,
being crap,
shaking, holding their controller as I.
You act like you haven't been that guy either.
I've definitely been that guy. Definitely been that guy. All right, lots to come tomorrow on Canucks Central. We will touch base with Harmon Dial and Landon Ferraro. Get you ready for the Abbotsford Canucks and Texas Stars playing game one of their Calder Cup Conference Final. Coming up, Panthers and Canes. Second period is about to get going. Aho is the goal scorer for the Canes. They're up 2-0, trying to stave off elimination and force a game six against the defending champs. For producers Josh and Arash, my co-host Sat, I am Dan. You've been listening to Canuck Central.